Welcome to this episode of Conscious Conversations, Wisdom from the Heart to Inspire and Empower. We have a really special guest today. I'm so excited to get to introduce this brilliant being to you all. Her name is Kathleen Ventura, and we were actually introduced by a mutual friend in Sedona, and it was love at first sight, at least on my end. And she has so much to offer the world. She is someone who is one of the most conscious people that I know, and living a conscious life pretty much every moment and every decision, big and little. And she's charting her own course. She's making her own rules. She's inspiring people along the way and gathering her tribe. And she's a TEDx speaker and has been published in multiple media outlets and interviewed all over the place. I'm going to let her give you some more details on exactly what it is that she is doing now and cooking up for the future, but it's sounding like it's going to be very hugely impactful. So welcome, Kathleen Ventura. Thank you for being here.
Oh my goodness, Erin. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for that like perfect, like delightful, just really flattering intro. I'm so grateful. And like, just to add, like it was definitely love at first sight, I think, on both ends, definitely at that first meeting. It was just like, wait a second, I feel like we already know each other a little bit or something, and we definitely didn't. So thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. This is such a privilege, and I know that you have so much wisdom to share, but if you don't mind starting sort of from the beginning, because I know you have a little bit of a dramatic story about, because you haven't always lived this kind of freewheeling, wild life. You had kind of a corporate job. Yeah. A normal job, if you will, in a big city. And so if you don't mind starting out with how and when you escaped that and what you did, because it's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. Okay. So I'll do my best to keep it to like the most exciting times. And thank you for that. So I think it would be important to start that, like, I've kind of, despite being someone who really desires certainty and things like that, I've always kind of questioned things along the way. Like, I've always colored outside the lines, I guess, would be like, I'm not like a crazy rebel or anything, but I've always kind of colored outside the lines, right? Like when I was in college, I interned at Disney World. I studied in Europe. I, you know, interned at Make-A-Wish Foundation. I held all these different jobs because I wanted to identify what I wanted to do after school without it, assuming that like just having a major was going to get me there, right? So when I finished school, I actually, instead of getting like a big kid job, I actually was a business major. So that would have made a lot of sense that I would go get like this like wonderful, you know, 9-to-5 job. I actually bought a one-way ticket to get certified in ESL in Costa Rica. And I ended up living there for a year and a half. And like had an apartment and rent and like lived there. I wasn't on some program or something. And this was way before kind of a lot of people were doing this. This is actually like right in the heat of the recession, actually, like right as the recession was coming up. And ultimately what ended up happening there is that my job was eliminated. You know, what I was doing at the time, I was working with corporate accounts, and I was teaching English on people's lunch break and before lunch and whatever. And when they rewrote corporate budgets, my job was eliminated because of the recession. So I had to make a really tough decision and decide to come back to the US or not. And that's what I decided to do. You know, I moved back in with my parents and I got one of these 9-to-5 jobs that I said, I'm never going to do, you know, that I wanted to live all over the world. I wanted to see things. I wanted to learn languages, get out of my way. I have no intention of stopping anytime soon. And recession hit, had to get a job, and then spent 3 years in a 9-to-5 job, just really proving my theory about myself true. You know, like, I don't belong here. I can't do this. My body is angry, sitting at a desk, commuting an hour and a half. Thank goodness where I was working for a big chunk of that time was actually really enjoyable, but then it wasn't. And what was really cool is that my husband, he wasn't my husband at the time. We weren't married just yet, but that we were both on the same page about being this lifestyle, not being for us, that we couldn't just continue to work day in and day out doing work that didn't matter to us, having very little energy or funds or whatever to do the things that we wanted to do. It felt like life was just really redundant, and we were definitely uninspired by our own existence, I think would be the most fair way to say that. So we sort of set up a plan to leave our corporate jobs, leave our, you know, good, cute little jobs. And we decided to ride our bikes across the US is how that started, right? So like some people would quit their jobs and I don't know, do different things, but we decided that we wanted to ride our bikes across the US. We had wanted to do that for a little while, despite actually not even owning bikes, but we decided to ride our, we decided we want to ride our bikes across the United States. And then after that, so that's what we did. We decided we're going to ride our bikes across the US. This is how long it's going to take. This is how much it's going to cost. This is how much we want to save. This is when our lease is up, and like had this whole escape plan and quit our jobs, like, you know, whatever. And then after that, we spent about 5 months riding our bikes across the US. And then we spent the following calendar year traveling totally internationally. Mm. It was amazing and beautiful. And we could do a whole interview about that experience, of course. But, you know, what kept coming up during that process was a lot of people saying things to me that I had heard since even my teens or even in college, was people saying things like, I wish I could do that, or I wish I had done that, or I wish I had had the opportunity. And to me, that was always confusing, specifically as like a younger person, you know, when I was still in school. And I was like, do you think that people just came to me and said, all right, pack your bags, like time to jump off this cliff and hope the net will catch you, you know, like time to leave all your friends and family and whatever. And so it really started hitting me. I think I probably wanted to be a coach before I even knew that being a coach was like a profession. I wanted to help these people who clearly were uninspired, unhappy with their own lives, or wish that they had maybe made different decisions. And when it came down to it, you know, we're living this beautiful life, like traveling internationally. You know, I knew like my next move needed to be about an income, you know, we were like on this crazy whatever, but I'm a worker bee. Like I love to be in action, generating, you know, doing things. And I was really itching to get back into the workforce and be creating and stuff. So I looked into coaching, and that's where this all started, is because I knew that there were people who were living lives and having lifestyles that just like were not in alignment with what was really important to them. And it has evolved over the past several years to, I love entrepreneurs, and I've been supporting entrepreneurs and starting their businesses and with their own mindset for the past over two and a half years, almost 3 years now. And just recently I've decided to make a total shift from just supporting female entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, get things off the ground, get out of their own way, move around their mindset and things like that. And the tactical stuff, of course, to really stepping into what's more, even more important to me. And it is this whole thing that I hope we're going to talk a lot about today, is our impact on everything, you know, like our impact on the planet, our impact on each other, our impact on our own bodies through the choices and the decisions that we make every single day. And I think that I was definitely contributing to a component of that, of helping people live aligned lifestyles around what's really important to them, supporting them specifically through starting a business. But I want to now get out sort of at the front lines of that and having direct, you know, really be having direct conversations. So the space I'm moving into now is supporting, entrepreneurs, leaders, social entrepreneurs, and even people in the corporate space to be aligning with those values and to be greening, if you will, you know, their choices, their decisions, bringing awareness and education to the things that a lot of people don't know, that if I believe that if they were aware of, they would make better choices or different choices. So that's the space that I'm going into now. So that's like less like 10 years in a nutshell or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So exciting. So you were uninspired by your own existence. I love that phrase. Mm-hmm. So you chose to do something about it, even though I'm guessing there might have been some fear, some doubt. As you said, you didn't necessarily know if a net was going to catch you. But just being uninspired for you was enough to get out there and make a huge shift. And
oh my gosh,
something that you were pretty sure you wouldn't have regrets about. And it sounds like you didn't. So I just want to point that out, that because I think so many people live lives of uninspiration and they just think that's normal. That's just the way it is. So
yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are, pardon me, I'm sorry. A lot of people are just, we're trained to just like accept whatever life hands us. And we see everyone around us sort of doing the same thing, that we just accept that as normal, you know? And I have so much to say about that, but I think that that's what it is. And that it is just a recognizing that like, it's your responsibility to change it if you want it to be different. You know, no one's going to come along generally.
Right. You know? Yes. Thank you. Which is why I just love getting to share people like you with as many people as possible, so that we have other examples of, we can create a new normal where it's not okay. It's weird to live lives that are not inspired. And so thank you for doing that, for sharing that, for being that, and for not accepting anything less than an inspired life. which, as far as I can tell, continues to get more inspired by the day.
It's kind of what it feels like, yeah.
So, and we'll get to the latest phase, but can you, just so that people have a context and a flow of all this, because you weren't always so conscious and so involved and so passionate about all of this. So was there one kind of pivotal moment or epiphany where you, because you were a normal pizza eating, ice cream eating American gal.
Yeah.
And at some point along the way, things started to shift for you in significant ways. And so can you, before we get to the, talk about that shift and how that happened?
Yeah, I think that this is an important thing to definitely pay attention to, is that generally, you know, what I found is it is one thing that sort of always starts a person on a journey of self-discovery or of leading an examined life. And for us, it wasn't. It's so funny you say pizza and ice cream, because I always tell the story like this. Like, my husband read somewhere about the damage of consuming dairy and consuming refined sugar. And he came home, we were house sitting in New Zealand. This was on our year of nomadic travel, four years ago, actually right now, like this month. And he came home and he's like, we're not eating any more refined sugar or dairy. And I was very like, what? I don't even get a send off pizza or a send off ice cream. What the what? Like, this wasn't my idea, you know? And that's what started it all. I eventually came around to it because I did it with him. We did no refined sugar or dairy. And after 30 days, I was like, I can have a scoop of ice cream. And I felt horrible enough to be like, never again will I put that stuff in my body. And that's actually where it started, was, you know, just becoming aware of things that we just weren't aware of previously. Like, I grew up in, you know, an Irish, Italian, American household where, like, you just drink milk, you know, with everything, and there's butter and margarine on stuff and sugar, like, obviously, like most of us, you know. And it never occurred to me, like, to question, like, why are we consuming the lactation of a bovine mammal, like, as a human adult, when, like, it was weird. And then, you know, we started learning about, like, how this is harmful to our bodies and what it, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that just opened our eyes to a lot of other things. And it started there. It started with the food in that way. And then we started, you know, questioning, like, why are we eating animals? You know, what it, like, we got into organic and understanding, like, what's going on with, yeah, like, pesticides and herbicides and all kinds of crazy poisons that are being sprayed on food, and like, how to read ingredient lists and things like that. And when we started opening our eyes to, wow, what's on the ingredient list of these foods being extremely questionable and kind of scary, to be honest, we started reading ingredient labels for different things. Like, what's my nail polish made out of? And, like, what's, you know, all of these different things that now kind of governs my life. And cause I'm very uncompromising, you know, with my values now where they're at. And so we have gone from, like, okay, what the heck is this sugar and dairy thing, to basically questioning, you know, what's in every household, you know, thing. What is this clothing made out of? Like, what are the dyes in the clothing made out of? And, you know, we're like painting our house. It's such a pain in the butt, but, like, we won't buy any paint from a normal store. We go into the store and we, you know, and we get the colors that we want. And then we reach out to, in very non-toxic company and have them make that paint color with their dyes and their non-toxic paint so that we can paint our house with not toxic stuff, you know? So it started there, and it just, you know, I love that, Louise Hayes, and I don't know if she actually has said this or someone just repeated this to me, but she says something, and I'm paraphrasing here, like, when you start cleaning your house, it doesn't matter which room you start with, you'll just start tolerating less crap in other rooms. And that's what happened, is we started, the room we started with was our food, and now we tolerate way less for everything, you know, the energy that runs our house and, like, growing our own food and what's in everything, what our bed sheets are made out of, companies, products, businesses that we do or do not frequent, you know, based on what our values are. So it's been a really kind of cool evolution. It's an inconvenient way to live, but it's like every single day you're learning something new to make a better choice, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot to deal with.
I love it. I love it. I think you're exactly what is called for right now. A little more uncompromising. I think we've been compromising a lot in a lot of ways as a society. And it's the truth tellers like yourself, I think, are just integral, critical to what is happening right now. So, because people don't know. And I think, as you said, once you know, once you start knowing, you can't unknow. So spreading the word about some of these things that we have just taken for granted and not started to examine is so important. But so what would you say to people that are listening and saying, well, that's great for you, Kathleen, but I've got a family to feed. I've got kids. I'm working a 9-to-7 job and I can barely keep up as it is. I can't go having my paint hand colored by, you know, if it sounds too complicated for people, where would you suggest or what would you say?
Yeah, this is such an important component of all of this because there are full marketing teams and industry people like out there to keep the public generally confused. Like, this is hard. This is confusing. I don't know how to read a label. I don't know if it's pasture raised or hormone free or whatever. I don't know. It's really hard. And it doesn't have to be hard at all. It doesn't have to be confusing. And I love this sort of like add more green vegetables like method. It's like anything. Like, don't start with depriving yourself. Just start adding more of the good stuff. Like, and I don't mean just with diet, I mean just in general, right? You know, so I think you just start somewhere, right? Like, just decide to start somewhere, whatever, you know, whatever your values are. And I think that's what's really important to note is that like everyone's values are different. Like, one person's value might be about, I don't know, about like the transportation sector, about renewable energy, or maybe they're really worked up about the education and like what kids are being told or their minds are being fed in school. And I think it's just start somewhere, align with what's most important to you and start there. For us, it ended up being the food, and it was just about adding more of the good stuff and learning to cook with vegetables and all of this stuff and eating a whole food plant-based diet. You know, but then it, like I said, then it sort of like leaked into other areas of our life. So I would say, first of all, do something. Don't think you've got it. This didn't happen overnight for me either. This has been a 4-year process and I'm still not perfect. Like, the shirt I'm wearing right now is not organic cotton. God only knows what this is made out of. You know, like, I'm not here to say I'm perfect. And I, you know, like, I have people come to me and say like, oh my God, I'm going to go vegan. Does that mean I have to like throw out all of my, you know, my health and beauty products that are tested on animals? And it's like, take a deep breath, or do I just throw out my shoes that are made of like leather or whatever? Take a deep breath, like one thing at a time, pace yourself, add more of the good stuff versus get like, so for example, like when your deodorant runs out, go and get, you know, like the, you know, the no aluminum, like totally organic, like deodorant, you know, or whatever. Don't go and like think you have to throw everything in your house out and completely replace it, or that you have to go 100% organic, or that if you don't have renewable like solar panels on your roof, like you're bad news, you don't belong in this, you know, part of this journey or whatever. With all of us, we love, like, we all are here to support each other, you know, like, it, no matter what stage of this you're at. And as far as like feeding a family, what I hear from a lot of people is like, yeah, I want to change, but I'll never get my kids to eat that, or my husband or my partner will never be interested. And I think it is just be open to allowing people to come to it on their own. Leading by example, in my experience, has been the best method of promotion. People don't want things to be thrown at them, you know? So I think just like leading by example, make changes in yourself, maybe just upgrading the quality of things and not totally changing ingredients and stuff like that. I think it's really just about being gentle with yourself and starting somewhere and not overcomplicating it, if that's helpful.
Super helpful, super helpful. So start small. Small is fine. You don't have to go all in. Mm-hmm. Start where you're most interested, whatever is firing you up personally, whatever inspires you, and go from there and see where the path takes you. Is that
absolutely
paraphrasing what you...
That's a perfect, you perfectly, and so, and way less words. That's perfect. Exactly. Because, you know, I think, you know, it really just depends on what your values are, like, that, and that's where you make those decisions. You know, that's what I'm all about, right? Is like creating a lifestyle that is designed directly around your unique values and priorities. You know, and there are people who will live in a house they don't love so that their kids can go to the best school in town. Like, that's your value, that's your priority, that's you designing a life around what's most important to you. You know, other people are like, the house is the priority, or the food, or the access to the food is the priority, or whatever it might be. And I think it's just identifying what is most important to me, not what is supposed to be most important to me, mm-hmm. and making decisions around that answer. You know, one thing at a time. We didn't even have bikes, remember? You know, like, we had to buy bikes. We had to buy bikes to ride our bikes across the U.S., you know? One thing at a time. One thing at a time.
I love it. Thank you. And so how have you seen all of this benefit you personally? I'm assuming that you are incredibly healthy. Mm-hmm. And you look just glowing and vibrant and super happy. But can you talk about some of the benefits for you for making all of these decisions were? Because I think people might be listening and thinking, oh, that sounds awful. It sounds like such a hardship. Yeah. It sounds like misery, but it's, you don't look miserable. So can you talk about some of the benefits of doing
that? Yeah, absolutely. So I'm probably the opposite of miserable. I literally live my dream life every single day. So I feel like I could answer this question in a lot of ways. And so I think I might just do it in two different ways. So the short answer is what it's like to live like this. I haven't been sick since I started eating like this. I don't have a cough or a fever. I literally haven't had to take a day off of work or call in sick to my clients. It allows me to show up with amazing energy every single day. I sleep better. I wake up without an alarm clock every day. My skin is clearer. My hair grows faster. My nails grow faster. I don't have like breakouts, you know, on my skin or anything like that. That's just like the basics, right? Of like, I sleep better. I have more energy. I'm legitimately healthier. There's no inflammation from what I'm aware of. And I do see, you know, like a doctor to make sure that I am in fact healthy despite not actually having active sickness, you know, going on. So there's that component, right? Like I don't ever have to slow down my life, slow down my business, slow down my work in order to accommodate illness or inflammation in my body. Right. What else? God. So
that's,
I guess,
huge. I mean, that's, if nothing else, that is gigantic.
Yeah. So if nothing else, there's like that whole component. God, second, fifth, seventh, I have like a million things. But what I will say is like, it's my theory is that when we are designing a lifestyle that is uniquely in alignment with our values and priorities, that it breeds freedom for ourselves and for others. And so I'll explain what I mean by that. Like when you have a life that is full of only things that you want in it, like the relationships, the food, the fitness, the well-being, the family experience, the travel, the home life, etc. When it's full of stuff that you like intentionally put in your life, freedom is like the only word that really comes to mind. You know, it's living a life that is like by your own design is one of the most incredible things that you could do. If just for yourself, but the thing is when you are living that way, you're intentionally or unintentionally inspiring others to do the same. So it like breeds freedom, I say, because when you have the courage to say, I'm not going to eat that anymore, or I'm not contributing to that industry that's harmful to the environment, or whatever it is, I'm going to demand better. I'm going to raise my standards. I'm going to have these new non-negotiables. There's other people watching you that whether you want them to be or not are going, oh, I never thought of that, or that's inspiring, or she makes it look not that scary, or she did what I want to do and survived, you know, maybe I can do that too. So as far as like what it's done for me, aside from like that, like I feel totally free. I love my life. I love where I live. I love the work that I do. I love my relationships. I love everything. I love everything. But so there's that, you know, and I feel like the sky is the limit. But what is so cool is when I have people come to me and they're like, Kathleen, oh my God, I did this thing because, you know, I saw you say this, or I know you really appreciate this, or I saw you talking about this organic clothing brand and I bought some for my kids. That part is like, oh, like, I mean, the cherry on top, if you will. It's so cool when you know, like the intentional inconvenient decisions, and I'm saying inconvenient and I mean that, like this isn't easy. You know, generally like our society is not set up for people who are fussing about things that I'm fussing about, you know, when people are observing it and seeing it, like, and being inspired to take their own action. Awesome. I mean, yeah, there's that.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Would you be willing to give us a couple of examples where you're, cause I know you travel a lot. And so how do you do all this while you're traveling and you're not necessarily in control of your own environment?
Yeah. Okay. I've got a, hang on a second. There you are. All right. I just have to move and I want to make sure I stayed in the frame. So, oh God, I'm so white. All right. So this is so funny. I love to tell these stories because, most people would be like, you're nuts. All right. Hang on a second. I'm going to move this around. So basically when we travel, we most always travel together, but when it's just me, whenever we travel, we don't stay in hotels anymore because of the way that we eat locally. We don't ever expect any restaurants to accommodate us. So whenever we travel, we always stay in Airbnbs where we can have our own kitchen. So that's just like priority number one is don't leave it up to chance that you're going to be able to find food that's going to be filling and nourishing is a huge thing for us. Plus, I just want to be able to cook my own food. Another thing that's really funny is that whenever I travel, I always bring like a mason jar of like chia seeds, flax seeds, goji berries, like a bunch of superfoods, so that when I get where I'm going, I can buy like bananas, kale, spinach, and like berries and make a smoothie, but I can bring my superfoods to have them nutrient dense. And every time, like without fail, the security in the US at the airport like always has to check my bag because my chia seeds look suspicious on the camera. And I'm just like, they're like, whose bag is this? And I'm like, it's mine. So like, I just know, you know, and like, I won't go through those x-ray machines. So we always ask for a pat down, which is again, extremely inconvenient. It always takes a long time. They're always irritated with you, you know, whatever. So those are just like, I mean, just an actual travel, like, I bring my own food and I know it's going to cause suspicion on the cameras for whatever reason. And I'm totally cool with that. Just don't take it from me, you know? And that's a big thing too, is like that I do travel with food, you know, like I bring like a little 3-ounce thing of coconut oil because I don't need to buy a whole thing of coconut oil to cook with when I get there. You know, I'll bring quinoa with me because I don't also need to be buying a huge bag of quinoa for a 4-day trip, which also looks really funny on their scanners, you know, and where we decide to stay is also really important. Things like that. I'm trying to think of what else, because there's so, I just do these things, right? Like I just do them naturally. So I don't really like think about them. Where we stay is a big one. Those are the highlights, I would say. It's just, it's about being prepared. That's what I'll say. It's about being prepared. Yeah.
Being prepared. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And so what about just the normal day to day? Are there some little, maybe easier tips and tricks that people can do that'll be impactful?
Yeah. So the tangent that I'm on right now, and I know you and I like love this together, is I feel like the planet is, for me in my life, is one of the, after my own body and my own well-being, is like one of the most important things that I love to draw attention to right now, because our political climate is not going to take care of it. And so much power comes from the everyday person, you know, shifting very small little behaviors. So there's a couple of things that I want to say. The first is that, and I hope this is cool to say, I know you and I agree on this, but like, the number one thing is if you can eliminate or drastically decrease the amount of animal products that you are consuming, you are going to have the most powerful, powerful, powerful impact on not just the greenhouse gas emissions that account for over like animal agriculture contributes to 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, which is destroying our environment. But it also is going to contribute to saving water, to saving animals from extinction, from deforestation, from everything. So if there's one thing that you do, if it's like you can drastically decrease or even eliminate consuming animal products, the most important day-to-day thing that you can do to change a zillion things that are worth saving. There's that. The other little things that I think are really cool to mention are like composting. There's a lot of people who don't compost or don't even know what composting is. And I think that there might be this misconception that if I don't compost, I can just send that banana peel to the landfill with the garbage and it'll compost there. And the thing is that it's not. So it's actually producing methane because it's not sitting on the ground to actually decompose into the dirt, right? It's just sitting on a heap of stuff. So if you can incorporate composting your food scraps into your day-to-day life, it can be extremely valuable. I could go on about this forever, but I also think that like we are like a nation, a world that just consumes so much plastic, unnecessary plastic. So I would just say, take a look at, you know, how many pieces of one-use plastic you're using and how to maybe just shift that, like whether it's sandwich bags, like can you put that in a glass container? Can you, do you need a garbage bag or can it just go in the garbage and then be put in the, you know, the garbage bin out by your, you know, outside of your house? There's so many things like with your doggy bags, like things like that. I mean, God, I could go on forever. Diapers, whatever. So any like amount of plastic that you can avoid, please do it. You know, like have your renewable, like, or whatever, reusable water contraption. Like I've got a mason jar, whatever, it's glass. Obviously it's not plastic. Don't use like one single use water bottles, little things like that. Just like bringing a reusable water bottle with you when you travel, when you leave the house, when you go anywhere, to avoid buying single use stuff. Those are some of like the top things that like simple in your everyday life that could have the biggest impact ever. That's what I got.
Awesome. Awesome. And if there is somebody listening that doesn't understand why plastic is a problem, do you have words of wisdom around that?
Yeah. So yeah, great question. So I don't know that I have a statistic at the top of my head, but so plastic doesn't, one, it doesn't decompose. Second, it's extremely polluting just to create that, like to manufacture plastic. It's also not really safe for the workers who are like producing that plastic, but it's just, it's really unnecessary, right? Like they're finding it's contributing to dead zones in the ocean. It's, I think, I feel really funny saying that, cause like usually I really like to be super certain on my statistics. They're finding plastic in sea life, like in turtles' bellies and in whale bellies and like in the fish. They've got straws up their noses and in their digestive tracts. It's really horrible and really sad. And it's sitting in the landfill, just contributing to this methane. And you can completely avoid this. Like you can completely avoid plastic in so many ways. Like when you go to the, I mean, I'm going to go on another tangent, but like when you go to the grocery store, like you don't need to wrap every individual like lemon that you buy from the produce department in another piece of like in a piece of plastic. Like it grew in the ground. Like it came from dirt. It's going to be fine. Like it's not going to get any germs on it. You can wash it when you get home. You know, like when you go to the bulk section to get your quinoas and your oats and your lentils, like bring a mason jar and have it, you know, put it in there. There's so like bring cute reusable bags, you know, for whatever it might be. Like just say no thank you when a cashier tries to give you a plastic bag, because you're contributing to the problem of like these poor animals, the contamination to the planet. Like it's not decomposing, it's dangerous to produce, the manufacturing is extremely toxic, and it just is unnecessary. It's totally unnecessary. And plus, like you don't want food or products or anything that's made out of plastic, because the chemicals in the plastic are leaching then into the food, into the water, into the child that's chewing on the toy or whatever made out of plastic, you know? So just be really cognizant of what things are made out of, because you are contributing to a lot of crazy stuff that you don't want to probably be contributing to.
Perfect. I love it. So we've got eating less animals, or maybe eating no animals, and
maybe
plastic, minimizing plastic, or maybe giving up plastic as much as you can. If people did nothing but that, that would have a huge impact, correct?
Massive. I mean, it would be like, they say really quick, like statistic I do have is that like some study I saw that McDonald's serves 60 million people a year, which means 60 million straws just for McDonald's, like, or that Starbucks goes through 4 billion disposable plastic cups, or holy smokes. Like if you just focused on one thing, like, yeah, imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love how you maybe didn't say it explicitly, or maybe you did, that I don't think the solution is going to come from the top down. I think the solutions are going to come from us, from you and me and all of the beautiful people watching this who are going to say, yeah, I could do that. I could not wrap my lemons in a bag, and I don't need to buy bottled water. And once people stop buying it, they'll have to stop producing it. So I think we have so much more power than maybe we've been led to believe. And that's the intentional life and sharing the information and being inspired by our planet, our world. It's so glorious in so many ways. And so to do some of these little things, to not take a straw, to me, it's just such a privilege to be able to give a gift like that to the planet, to our world. Is that how you feel?
Oh my gosh. Every decision that I make is about like the environment. I mean, I'm very clear, like first my body and then the environment, but thank God I very rarely even have to make that distinction, but it's so important. It's so important. And I think there's this common like misconception that this is like a problem of the future, like our planet being in such a dire situation that whatever you and I know, like we talk about this a lot, that like, first of all, we only get one Earth. There's like no plan B here, guys. Like we're not going to live on Mars. And climate change is already impacting so many things, right? Like God, deforestation, famine, flood, civil war, premature birth, death, obviously the rising of oceans. So displacement, you know, because people in island, you know, in island countries and things like that, like have nowhere to live. And it's so important to like realize that we are all impacting that positively or negatively, and we have a choice, and that it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to be out like, I mean, you could be like, don't get me wrong, like, you know, scrubbing the animals from oil spills and things like that. But you can make decisions every single day in your own life that like makes a massive change. And it is going to come from us. It's going to come from us voting with every dollar, every purchase that we make and how we show up and what we're demanding, you know, and big businesses are going to, you know, they're going to yield to us, you know, they're going to give us what we want, you know? So I couldn't agree more. I mean, everything I do is like every day in my whole life is Earth Day. Like everything that we're doing, like we're planting our own food in the backyard, like planting trees to trap the carbon. And I'm not saying you have to do all of that, but it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt.
You could. Yeah. And so maybe that is a good segue into your newest offering, which it's hot off the presses and I love it so much. So do you want to say a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know, okay, yes, I do. Thank you so much for this space. So yeah, it is hot off the press. I've been in a big transition from, I really want to be, like I said, on the front lines of this, not doing something very indirectly to impact the things that I am excited about. And as you can tell, I'm excited about this stuff. So the space that I'm moving into is that I'm going to be doing, I've been a coach. So I've been like I said at the beginning, I've been a life and business coach since 2014. And I loved what I did. I had the opportunity to meet with some of the most inspiring women, and such great opportunities came from that. But I'm stepping into the space now where it's going to be much more directly connected to, I'm calling it like a conscious makeover, where I'm going to be giving conscious makeovers to either social leaders, entrepreneurs, business owners, people who have a platform who really care, who want to do these things but don't know where to start, kind of like we were talking about. There's too much, I don't have time, I'm overwhelmed, I'm exhausted, you know, what am I even supposed to be doing that's actually going to make a difference? And coming to them and helping them change their behavior and their patterns, and understanding that though it is going to be a lot of consulting and education and awareness and explaining alternatives and better options for a lot of things, that also a lot of that comes, the coaching that I've been doing comes in mind because, or comes into play because we all have rules that we've made for ourselves about what we are and are not worthy of, and what is and is not safe, you know, specifically when maybe there's people around us who disagree or aren't as excited about what we're excited about, you know? So I'm going to be moving into that space of supporting, yeah, individuals in that way. But don't get me wrong, I'm super excited about that. But the new thing that I'm adding, which is completely unlike anything I've done before, is I'm looking to come into businesses, into corporations, of course, that are predominantly led by women, because I have such a soft spot for women in leadership roles, being the change that we all want to see in the world by coming together and empowering one another. But coming into that space and not only empowering the business entity itself to become more conscious, to evaluate its decisions, its policies in the work environment, but also connecting with the employees about their well-being, about aligning their own lifestyles around what is uniquely important to them. You know, I said this earlier, I think, or no, I didn't, not on this. One of my favorite guys in the world, and I can't pronounce his name, and I feel like if I'm going to be talking about him, I need to learn how to say his name, but the founder of Patagonia, Yvonne, that I can't pronounce his last name, the most reluctant. How do you say it? Do you know?
It's Chouinard, something like that.
Exactly. It's French, and I can't say it. He's my hero. And Patagonia, he and Patagonia are sort of like the original conscious company. You know, anything you can ever think of being conscious in a company, they've done it. They started, you know, we're going 100% organic cotton in our cotton supply chain, or we're not going to be in business. You know, when they learned like what's going on with the cotton industry and the chemicals and the pesticides, et cetera, that are dumped on the cotton fields, you know, we're not going to be in business if we have to contribute to this. And, you know, solar panels in the parking lot and I think it's a vegetarian organic cafeteria and on-site daycare for kids and things like that. I mean, just unbelievable. And I heard him say in an interview several years ago that, you know, we're doing all of this stuff, but you look out in our parking lot here at headquarters and there's SUVs, you know, in the parking lot, and a lot of my employees are, you know, wearing Levi's, and Levi's are obviously not organic cotton. So he said it's one of those things where you have to communicate, like, I am part of the problem, that like just the company being conscious itself it's amazing and thank goodness, you know, but like that's where I want to come in and also connect with employees about like how, you know, that you work at this incredible conscious forward thinking, you know, progressive place, but also what are you doing in your daily life? You know, can you ride your bike or walk to work? Can you drive a smaller car? Can you eat more organically? Can you, et cetera, bring your lunch not in a plastic bag? And what about your well-being and what, you know, and things like that. So I want to come into that space because it, like, we've got the studies, right? Like, people are more productive, they're happier at work, they call in sick less, you know, when they are in a wonderful environment, and also when they're being educated on their own well-being and things like that. So that's what I'm doing.
I love it so much. Yeah. It feels like such a perfect fit for you.
Thank you.
And I hope that anybody who's hearing this will spread the word about this lady. And I hope that you are very soon booked out for the next 5 decades. CEOs around the world, redefining what it means to run a successful business. That it's not just monetary anymore. That we have to include these metrics, and we have to include a little bit more responsibility, social responsibility. And I think that conversation is shifting, and I think you're perfectly positioned to dive in and have a huge impact. It's just so exciting.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I just want to say that my reason for this, right, like, it versus, don't get me wrong, like, I'll go march anywhere for science or climate change or women's rights or whatever. But the reason that I feel like this is so important is that people who are business owners, who are entrepreneurs, founders, corporations, et cetera, like, they already have a platform. You know, they have a platform, and their ability to have a massive ripple effect is, you know, it's amazing, right? So that's why I want to show up in this way for these people, because now more than ever, you know, I think I love that. Like, now more than ever, like, we need social entrepreneurs, we need conscious consumers, et cetera. And that's why I want to start in that space, is just empowering people who already have platforms and voices that they can use for good in the way you just described.
Amen. Amen. So any last minute things that I didn't ask you about that you feel are important or that you're fired up about today?
Oh my gosh. That's I feel like I could go on tangents forever. So that's a really, like, dangerous question to ask me.
Well, we have a bit of time. So if there's
something. Yeah, I know, because I talk so fast. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. Yeah. What is something that we can talk about? God, what would you like to talk about? Because I feel like you and I agree on so many things, and we haven't really, like, establish that in this conversation, you know, like, I don't know. What could we talk about?
I mean, I think you hit on the major topics. Yeah. I think you talked about why it's so important to do what you're doing. And I think you've inspired other people to take some steps in this direction. And so I think it's fabulous. And why don't you tell people where they can find you? If they want to learn more or bring you in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Come reach out to me. I'd love to connect with anybody who's excited about this stuff. So the best ways actually to get in touch with me are on my website, of course, is kathleenventura.com. But I just hosted a Every Day is Earth Day challenge last month, obviously in honor of Earth Day. And it was one of the most popular things I've ever put out there. And you can get that at kathleenventura.com/Earth Day. So that would be one way to sort of get in each other's world. And then the other way is actually on Instagram. So one of my favorite places to share about what I'm up to, the way that I'm living. Like, we're currently remodeling our house from predominantly, like, reclaimed wood and responsibly farmed wood and yada, yada, yada. And anything that I'm doing in my life, whatever I'm cooking, the food that we're planting, like, today I was just telling Aaron, you know, we pulled all of our money out of the big banks and moved it into a credit union. And there's a lot of buzz around that right now with the Dakota Access Pipeline and things. So I'm talking about all those things on Instagram. So if you want to come join the conversation, that's where I'm always sort of, like, showing what I'm up to.
I love it. I love it. And I'm glad you mentioned that Earth Day challenge, because that I took that challenge and it was just so fabulous and so full of facts and action items. And it was so clear and well outlined. And I learned a few things. Hello, palm oil. So yeah, go and sign up for that Earth Day challenge. And that is a great introduction to Kathleen and her magic. So I couldn't be more excited that you exist on the planet and what you're doing and what you're offering and who you're inspiring. And I'm so grateful to you for spending some time with us and sharing your wisdom and putting yourself out there for the greater good for the planet and doing it in such a vibrant, delightful, loving way. I really appreciate you.
Oh my God, I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that. And I appreciate that you're on the planet, like just as equally, seriously, like every single one of us. But I'm so grateful for you and that you're doing what you're doing and that you're holding this platform and that you're giving your talk. So thank you right back at you.
Okay, thank you. I think we will leave it there. Thank you so much, Kathleen, and for all of you who are listening and being inspired by this. I'll see you next time. Bye.